Sony Pictures Classics. Sweetland Films. Emmett Ray, little-known jazz guitarist who flourished briefly in the 1930s. Recorded for RCA Victor, I'll See You in My Dreams, My Melancholy Baby, I'm Forever Blowing Bubbles, Exactly Like You, Unfaithful Woman, and Dancing in the Dark. Ray was considered second only to the great Django Reinhardt and is best known by jazz aficionados. A Gene Domanian production, Sweet and Low Down, starring Anthony LaPaglia, Brian Markinson, Gretchen Mol, Samantha Morton, Sean Penn, Uma Thurman, James Urbaniak, and John Waters. Music arranged and conducted by Dick Hyman. Written and directed by Woody Allen.
Why Emmett Ray? Because he was interesting. To me, Emmett Ray was a fascinating character. I was a huge fan of his when I was younger. I thought he was an absolutely great guitar player. And he was funny, you know, funny is the wrong word, then, you know, sort of pathetic in a way. I mean, he's flamboyant and he was, you know, boorish and obnoxious.
Well, the problem is that this is so little known about him, but we do know that he was a great guitar player. I'd say he was probably the second greatest guitar player in the world. Django Reinhardt was the best, and believe me, Emmett idolized Django. He was in awe of him. There's a story going around that says when he saw him playing in France that he fainted. He saw Django again at a restaurant in Germany, and he fainted again. It seems that every time Django would always make him faint or he'd make him cry.
Well, his relationship with Hattie is mostly what's known about him. I mean, there are a few Emmett Ray stories before that, but I have no idea whether they're true or not. First time anybody seemed to have heard of him was in Chicago. It was at this roadside joint.
A bald-headed man in a roadside club.
Hey, good to see you tonight. All right? Where the hell is he?
I don't know.
You gotta go get him, Dan. He's laying drunk somewhere.
Hey, he's probably in a pool room. That's where he always is.
Every night it's something else. He's late, he's a no-show. He gets drunk, he falls off the bandstand.
I told you from the first week not to hire this
what
guy, didn't I?
What kind of Emmett Ray go on?
Well, look at the crowd. What, you think they're here to see me?
No, just relax, I'll find them, all right?
I can't believe this. I'm gonna have to hold the show again. You know, I'll kill this guy. I don't care what kind of artist he is.
You take care of business, I'll find him. Just relax,
yeah,
all right?
Yeah. Hey, good to see you again.
In the pool room.
That's 50 more you owe me.
All right, I'm not going out of town. Another one?
I think you got some visitors.
I'll be back.
Two fashionably dressed women.
What do we get?
Here's your Ann.
The man counts the money.
This is what you bring me, $30? It's almost midnight. $30?
That's half, Emmett. It's all we made.
I can't live on that. I got car payments. I got new shirts coming in.
I'm sorry, Emmett. Business was slow. It's a Jewish holiday.
Yeah. And last night, it was raining, and the night before that, you got food poisoning.
Because I drank that booze that you made.
Listen, Emmett, I don't know how to tell you this, but while I was in bed with one of the Johns you sent me, he got very excited, and he got a heart attack, and he dropped dead.
Which one?
The salesman from Detroit.
What did you do?
Nothing. I took my clothes and I left.
So there's nothing to trace back to us?
Then I was thinking that maybe he had one of your business cards.
Oh, my God.
Well, I told you, a pimp doesn't need business cards.
You're always trying to be too fancy.
Emmett,
Come on, let's go, Harry. You're supposed to be on stage right now. You know something? Every night you're either late, drunk, or you don't show up. What is it with you?
A car drives past the club, then Emmett makes his way through the tables.
I'm on my bill.
Hey, Emmett, I don't want to embarrass you in front of your friends, but the boss said no more advances.
No, don't give me a song and dance. Just put that tab on my bill.
Emmett takes a seat on the stage and picks up his guitar, smiling. As his fingers move over the neck, the audience gazes him enraptured. A double bass player and a guitarist join in with the next piece. Emmett's eyebrows raise in time with the music, and a cheeky smile dances across his lips as he plays the lead.
But it's gonna be a lot of cats there, man. We always have fun at Donald's, you know what I'm saying?
Donald.
Have we got
it
right?
My wife says, hold on.
You take care of that, and don't forget the pass.
No, I told you.
Caught what?
Mind your business. Watch the road. What you got there, man? Is that a 45?
45.
45 what?
Oh, hey, hold on.
Wait,
put that shit away.
Hey, you want to go to the dump, shoot some rats?
Shoot some what?
Rats. Come on, I do it all the time. It's a lot of fun.
Listen, man.
I don't think you need no more of this right now.
There should be no other guns in this car besides my gun.
At someone's house, Emmett and a group of musicians are sitting around a piano jamming. In the kitchen.
Man, where'd you learn to play that thing like that?
Yeah, I never heard a guitar sound so good.
Yeah, I'm the greatest in the world. Well, you know, in France is Django.
Django? And you know he's coming to America in the summer to record.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Ever meet him?
I could have once in Europe. You know, really, our styles are just different. Nate Drummond prefers me. He says I'm miraculous.
Well, you're welcome to come here anytime. You know, we play here all the time.
Thank you.
Yeah, and I make great chili.
Well, thank you.
Emmett packs away his guitar, and as he's about to leave the music room, he notices a silver ashtray. He pockets it just before one of the other musicians comes back in.
Say, man, listen, we're about to hit it. Can we drop you somewhere you need a lift?
No, I like the air. I'll just walk.
You sure about that?
Yeah, thank you.
Okay.
Outside in the street, cattle are being herded into a pen and a brazier blazes on the pavement. Ah. Emmett pulls the ashtray from his pocket, looks at it, then tosses it away.
Well, I heard stories that he was a kleptomaniac. I mean, I heard that once he stole an alarm clock from Hoagy Carmichael, and Hoagy overslept and he missed the record date. So, what do you think? I mean, the only other story that I heard other than this Hattie thing was this moon idea that he had. He had this idea about this crescent moon, that he wanted to make an entrance on this big crescent moon.
Well, the story is that it came to him apparently, I guess, in a dream that he built this moon thing with his own money because he thought that a star of his great stature, of his genius, ought to be able to make a real big entrance with a moon.
Just try to visualize it. You're looking up, and there it is, gold, beautiful moon. And I'm coming down, you guys are playing. What do you think?
It's a stupid idea, I've told you that. Would you let me take the shot?
Hey, I didn't ask your opinion, I'm just telling you how it's gonna go.
In a workshop, Emmett's shown a crescent-shaped piece of wood. Next, he's drinking with some men by the main tracks.
And the jacket would match the moon against the black velvet background. What do you think?
Sounds okay to me.
Yeah.
It's fancy.
Yeah. I'm considered the best guitar player maybe ever live. Certainly in this country. There's this gypsy in France. And he's the most beautiful thing I ever heard.
Tonight's the night.
Oh, Emmett, just as long as you're happy, that's the most important thing.
So it's really beautiful.
It is really beautiful. It's like jewelry. Wow.
Hey, I want to just be alone with the moon for a minute, all right?
You want to be alone with the moon? Okay. Emmett, you know what you are? You're a genius.
When the woman has gone, Emmett takes a chair and gazes at the glitter-covered moon.
She's a knockout, ain't she? Yeah.
Hope it's safe.
Of course it's safe. Why wouldn't it be safe?
It's a hell of a job. Make him break his neck.
Really?
And it starts to build and build in Emmett's mind. And by showtime, he's numb with fear. He's petrified. And the audience is out there waiting for him, you know, and he's backstage, meanwhile, drinking. Okay? By when he's ready to go on, he's, you know, stiff as a board.
Whoa!
Snazzy, man.
Hey, did you buy that off the rack? Look, the big
zipper. Your gun is bulging.
Yeah, do you think?
Yeah, I mean, what the hell you need it on stage for, right?
I don't feel right without it.
I'll get it back to you as soon as you're done.
Showtime!
I need a second to set up.
Thank you.
You need a boost.
Ready? Come on.
In his sequined black velvet jacket, Emmett tries to climb into the moon's chair.
Whoa!
He falls heavily, making the moon swing about.
You're right. Jesus, Emmett, be careful.
You're right.
He tries again.
All right, you're on? There, you're right?
All right, let's do it.
Let's go.
The moon jerks a little as it's hoisted up. The curtains open. As the moon is lowered, it bucks and jerks violently. Before it reaches the stage, Emmett is climbing clumsily down from it. The audience looks confused, but Emmett calmly takes the chair at the front of the stage and continues his performance. The moon crashes to the stage. Then later, Emmett's breaking it up and burning the pieces in a brazier outside.
Sooner or later, everybody's dreams go up in smoke.
What about my dreams, Emmett?
I can't settle down, Ann.
We don't have to marry.
I can't. I gotta be free. I'm an artist.
I thought you liked me.
We have fun. I took you to the dump. I let you shoot my gun at some rats.
Well, shooting rats at the dump is not my idea of a good time.
Why not? We brought sandwiches.
And sitting at the railroads watching trains, that's pretty strange, too.
Yeah, see? That's what I mean. What I like to do, what you like to do ain't the same thing.
No, that's not it, Emmett. It's that you keep your feelings all locked up and you can't feel nothing for anybody else.
Hey, you say that like it's a bad thing. Some terrible things happen to people in love. I know, I've seen it. Hey, I enjoy the company of women. I love them. It's just, I don't need them. I guess, you know, that's the way it is when you're a true artist. No, it doesn't mean we can't fool around.
Oh, right. Or shoot rats or watch trains. I never met anybody that keeps their feelings so locked up.
Yeah. I let my feelings come out in my music.
Yeah, well, maybe if you let your feelings out in real life, then your music would be even better.
Don't talk.
Nat Hentoff, journalist, jazz historian.
Emmett met Hattie in New Jersey. The band was playing a sort of resort hotel, and on a day off, Emmett and his drummer, Bill Shields, were doing their version of Charm. They were trying to pick up girls on the boardwalk.
This place is heaven on earth, huh? Cotton candy, 8 o'clock.
Watch me work.
Mary! Right?
Why don't you drop dead, jerk?
I thought you were someone I knew. Sometimes I hit with a... Mary! Mary! Right? Tina! Mary Ann! Marge! Hey! Hey.
Excuse me, miss. Okay. You know, I'm a photography buff myself. I was thinking maybe we could get my friend to take a picture of us.
Wait a minute, time out. You see this?
Oh, yeah, they're not...
Oh, no.
Whoa, did you see? She looked right at me.
She looked.
She smiled.
Look. She didn't. That was a smile.
That was a smile, and she was looking right at me. I think we got a chance. Which one you want?
I take the little one with the silly hat.
Oh, come on, she's more my size. I'll flip you.
Come on, I saw her first.
All right. You want the little one? Take the little one.
All right, I'll take the redhead. What difference does it make?
Would you come on? They're getting away. Look, there's nothing wrong with the little one. Come on.
The redhead's got nice legs and a nice chest. I think I'll take the redhead.
Well, the little one is cute.
She has a nice face, and I love those. She has those cupid bow lips I like, but I think I'll take the redhead.
You wanted the little one.
I changed my mind.
I'll flip you.
Call.
Tails. Huh? Huh?
All right, I got the little one.
All right, we agree. Now they got to agree.
Come on.
I'm telling you, you're gonna get on the Ferris wheel this time.
I'm gonna get away.
Now, remember when you tried to go on? It was last year we tried to get you up there.
Excuse me?
You were scared.
Excuse me, hi. Hi, you ladies from around here?
Yeah, we work right near here.
I'm Billy Shields. I'm a musician.
Yeah?
He's with my quintet. I'm Emmett Ray. The Emmett Ray Hot Quintet. We're over here at the Lakeside Ballroom.
Yeah, you know, it's our day off, so we were thinking maybe if you had some time, you could show us the sights.
You wanna go watch some trains?
What?
He's kidding. Yeah.
Oh.
Let's go for a drink.
Yeah.
Ask him. I liked you instantly. I'm being honest. Now, we flipped. He won. I got you.
Oh, I'm Gracie McRae.
Billy Shields. And if I may say, you have the most beautiful blue eyes I've ever seen.
Oh, this is my friend Hattie.
Hattie?
I'm Emmett Ray. Yeah, I've got the quintet. You like jazz music, baby?
How about we take a boat ride? Huh?
Well, yeah, sure. We'd love to.
Yeah?
Yeah.
We're right around the lake.
Great. Hey,
what's your name? Don't be shy, darling.
Oh, Hattie, don't talk. Oh, she's mute. Want to go take a boat ride?
Emmett hangs back while the others walk on ahead. At the jetty, Bill escorts Gracie to a boat while Emmett and Hattie are sitting in silence in theirs. While Gracie and Bill chat as they walk along together, Emmett stares at Hattie, who's eating candy floss.
Don't overthrow it. Throw it down.
Okay.
At a fairground stall, Hattie nearly hits the attendant as she tries to knock something down to win a prize. Emmett looks angry as he pays for another set of balls, then grabs Bill.
Good try.
Thanks for sticking me with the dummy.
Oh, hey, stop whining. You wanted her.
Then I changed my mind.
I don't know. She seems like a nice girl.
How could she seem like anything? She doesn't talk. This is my one day off. I want a talking girl.
I think she's a little bit of a half-wit.
What do you mean?
Gracie says she's not all there in the head.
Oh, well, that's great. Men like me got ideas.
Try to have a good time today, huh? Hey, you girls want to go for a walk on the pier? Hey, look at this. This is beautiful.
You hungry? Is that a yes or a no? Yeah, me too. What? Huh?
Hattie takes out a small notepad and pencil and scribbles something down.
I can't read that. It's like a Chinaman. What do you want? Do you know how to write? Did you go to school? What is that? Is that a yes or a no? You're a hard luck case. You an orphan? You don't know? Oh, this is great. This is great. I get a goddamn mute orphan halfway. I get all the winners. Were you always like this, born like this, or did somebody drop you on your head, or what?
Come on, Gracie's hungry. Let's go get some clams or something, hey, huh?
Can we switch for a while?
No. What's the matter with you?
I was amazing the second I picked up the instrument. Hey, it's in me someplace. Like a gift of God. They said it'd been great whatever instrument I chose. But on guitar, nobody can touch me. Except this gypsy in France. But mostly I'm untouchable. They want me to record. Hey, Dober, I don't know. Once you record, everybody can copy your stuff. They steal your ideas. What if we want to make something beautiful? Just to have some jerk copy it. You want to come here to show sometime? My guest?
Yeah, both of you.
Yeah. Okay. Hey, you'd appreciate it. Well, you'll see, I possess a great talent. You might be mute, but you're not deaf, right? And you don't have to be bright. I mean, music's for everybody, the smart or the dumb. How'd you lose your voice?
Oh, she don't know. It was something when she was a kid, like a high fever or something like that. She doesn't remember.
Yeah,
she's a good laundress.
I've shot guys. That's right. Well, I had to. It was them or me. I can tell you stories. Hey, what do you say we go to the dump, shoot some rats?
What?
Yeah, well, it'll be a ball.
Damn it,
please, not now, huh? Yeah, well, it's my car, and I say we're stopping at the dump for 10 minutes.
At the dump, Patty takes a shot.
No. I said, squeeze.
You call this fun?
Don't jerk.
This
squeeze it. Just line it up
this
in your sights. Now, go on. He's going to get away. Go on. Line up in
his
sights. And squeeze.
Emmett, come on.
Now,
in
a minute. In a minute. Go ahead. Just do what I'm telling you to do.
Hey,
do
would
it.
You leave her alone
Look,
already?
There's nothing to it.
Emmett snatches the gun.
Oh! Did you see I got him?
You call this civil?
Hey, what are you doing?
Is this civil to you?
No more cheese. Listen,
hey, no. Don't pick it up. These guys are diseased. You got to put it down,
huh? Did you know that rats attack poor kids in their cribs? I thought you'd enjoy this.
Mom, are you crazy?
So where? What do you think? You want to wear? Right, come up to my room and...
Do you think we could go out together?
Hear me play my guitar?
Alone sometime?
Yeah? Yeah. Good. Come on.
Emmett switches on the light as he steps inside.
Come on. I'll play it for you soon. Like a drink? We don't know each other. We just met. I had a wonderful evening. I don't need a genius to have a good time. I know I'm a fast worker.
She takes off her top.
Jeez, you're not put that much resistance. A lot of girls do. Yeah. Well, first date, like that. Okay. Yeah, hold on, hold it. Time out. I'm getting a little razzled with your pace. You like me? Expected more of a fight. It's like shooting fish in a barrel.
She hurriedly undresses him, then kisses him hungrily. Later, she pulls on her slip.
You like that? I knew you would. Yeah. They say I'm a wonderful lover. You got a terrific body. You really do. Round. I like round. And I don't mean fat. You got some heft. Makes a fella feel like he's been someplace. Now get dressed. I'm tired. I gotta go to sleep. If I don't get my sleep, I'm cranky. I'm a little short this week. I'd give you cab fare, but I don't assume it's a long walk home. First time I had sex, 7 years old. The guitar. Right, well, that's why we came up here. All right, you get dressed. I'm exhausted. What's your favorite song? Look who I'm asking.
As she's pulling on her dress in the bathroom, she becomes transfixed by the music and slowly walks to the doorway to listen. Lying on the bed with a cigarette balanced on his bottom lip as he plays, he's unaware that Hattie's in the doorway, staring blissfully out into space. At the hotel show. Couples are dancing while Emmett and his band play their set. At a table at the back of the room, Hattie is sitting with a feast of chocolate cakes and sundaes spread out in front of her. She smiles at Emmett as she spoons a great helping of ice cream into her mouth. Later, a freight train makes its way slowly over a grey-painted iron bridge. Emmett and Hattie are watching it. Hattie turns and smiles expectantly at him. Next, they're in a boutique. While Hattie reluctantly toys with the sleeve of a pale peach dress, the shop assistant offers her a fur stole, which Emmett then drapes over her shoulders. Later, while Emmett plays pool with another man, Hattie watches happily from the sidelines in a new outfit. Later, they're in bed.
I lived in Detroit, in Canada, New York, St. Louis. My father was in the army. I never got along with him. He used to hit me with a belt. He's dead now. He got asphyxiated. I'm pretty sure my mother's dead too. She used to get spells. I don't know if her family put her away somewhere or if she's dead. She used to foam at the mouth. She sang beautifully. The most beautiful music I ever heard. Except for this gypsy guitar player in France. I believe I can't listen to him without crying.
The next night, Emmett and the band are playing at the lakeside again, and the dance floor is packed. Hattie sitting at a table near the stage with a large napkin tucked into her dress. A tall, sophisticated woman with angular features and a black bob haircut approaches Emmett as he plays. As Hattie takes a forkful of pie, she watches the woman lean into Emmett and place something into his jacket pocket. Emmett grins at the rest of the band, and then later he and Hattie head over to the bar.
This is Shawty.
She seems a little agitated as he lights his cigarette.
So I'm gonna be busy later. Something came up. Just go get yourself home by yourself.
She stares at him, then turns away.
Oh, wait, what was that look for? What did I do? Huh? I got business. Huh? We gotta spend every minute together? Look. You go get yourself a cab. I'll see you tomorrow.
She throws his money down on the bar and he walks off. He joins the sophisticated woman, and moments later, he's lounging in a smoke-filled hotel suite, surrounded by women.
Must have my fun. I'm never sad.
The woman who brought him hands him a long, thin pipe, which he takes gratefully.
But I don't care. I'm 21, far from done. I've just begun.
He takes a puff, while nearby, another guest lights a hand-rolled cigarette, which she passes to Emmett's host.
Blow this gauge and get high with me.
Good Emmett and his new friends are also sharing handmade cigarettes.
It sends me gay.
Outside, Hattie gazes out at the lake as the brightly lit lakeside sign goes out. Emmett wakes in a chalet room in a forest. A leaflet on the bedside table.
Strasburg, Pennsylvania. Take one puff in New Jersey, I end up in Strasburg, Pennsylvania. I gotta get a cab.
He runs outside.
I need a taxi! Can I get a cab?
I'm sorry, Emmett. I had no choice.
We got a contract.
Hey, look, I run a first-class hotel here.
This was an emergency.
Yeah, an emergency. What kind of emergency?
My father died.
Again? How many times can your father pass away?
Okay, look, I'm gonna come clean with you. I got abducted and I was threatened.
Yeah, you were gone for 4 days. We had the police out. I'm tired of shooting crap every night just to see if my main attraction's gonna show. It's over.
Look, I gotta borrow a few bucks for cab fare.
You're kidding. How much?
$900.
Now, Emmett's striding towards a building in the fairground where a line of washing is hanging. Hattie comes out and ignores him.
Hey. Hey. Hey, what's the matter? Oh, I know this routine. Look, I'm a free agent. I do as I please. I might as well tell you. I quit the job. Right, I told him to take that job and stick it. So the band's leaving for Hollywood 2 weeks sooner than I thought. I didn't tell you about Hollywood. We're making a movie. Yeah. It's a little short one. A couple of minutes of me and the boys playing that tune, All of Me. You know? Good. What are you looking at me like that for? What? Okay, I got together with a couple of guys. We had a few drinks. One thing led to another. And the next thing I knew, I woke up out of town. Look, I don't have to account to you. All right? We're not married. I'm not the marrying kind. I can't settle. Whole idea leaves me cold. So I thought I'd buy you some lunch and say goodbye. And I'll be coming through here again, I'm sure, sometime. But you really are a spoiled dope, you know? I take you out to buy you things or go to the movies, you're fine. But the minute something doesn't go your way, I mean, I gotta go, and there's no way you can come with me. Right? I mean, you got responsibilities. You got a job. Oh, you have underwear and socks to wash. And I can't have my life cluttered. I'm an artist. A truly great artist. I need to be free. So, I'm saying goodbye. Okay? Okay? Look, how many fingers I got? 10, right? 10, 9, 8, 7, 6. It's 11. You see?
Hattie's in tears.
All right, look, if you come, it's not a free ride. All right? I'm not a charity organization. All right? You know, I don't know what I'm doing here. But if you come, you work.
Now, a white convertible car cruises along a country road, through a tunnel, then past rust-colored crops. Later, while Emmett and Bill lays on the grass, Hattie struggles to change a tire.
What's the matter? Nobody said it was gonna be a picnic. You know I can't risk my hands.
Hattie looks over at them before she gets back to the tire and a smile breaks across her face. She spins the tire a little, then leans her head on the wheel arch as she listens to the music. On the road again, they see a talent contest sign and stop. Smiling happily, they drive off again and arrive at a large meeting house on the roadside where many other cars are pulling up.
And now, folks, Chester Weems, our house painter, will play the saw.
Chester clutches the saw with his thighs and bows it like a violin.
The barn owl.
An older man's playing the spoons.
And you are?
Homer P. Risley.
What is your profession, Homer?
A profession. I'm a birdseed salesman.
Oh, yeah. A traveling salesman.
That's right, you got it.
And I see that your instrument is the guitar.
Yeah, that's right. Well, I've had a few lessons.
Oh, no need to be nervous, Homer. Yeah. This is a wonderful audience out here. Birdseed salesman, Homer Risley.
A woman in the audience is smoking a pipe, while others look on, seemingly nonplussed. Some of the people in the hall start to smile and nod.
Thank you.
Guys were ready to break out the tar and feathers, huh? You know, next time you're gonna hustle somebody, don't play so great.
I can't remember the tunes if I play badly. I wonder if Django ever hustled any suckers. Look at her, she's frowning. She doesn't like it. Well, they deserved it, they were jerks. Yeah. She's too good-hearted. A genuinely sweet person. I like that. I respect it. Won't get you anywhere in life. I had a dream last night. I had a dream we all went out to Hollywood. And I became discovered as a major star.
You? A major star? You were dreaming.
Why not? I got a good face.
We're in a short subject with a backup band. We're in the background, dammit. We're lucky to be in focus.
You can always get attention if you know how to do it. In this dream, I was standing there surrounded by gorgeous actresses. Oh, see, that she don't like. Relax. I'm with you now. Anyway, I'm not one of these guys who gets his head turned every time some dame walks by. I've had plenty of beautiful women. And I always put them in their place. Yeah. Love them and leave them, that's my motto. Love them and don't look back. I never once regretted, not one time did I ever regret dumping a beautiful dame. Because you gotta keep your guard up. You don't, then pretty ones get their worms in you, and then it's over. You're done. It's particularly if you're an artist. Now I've seen too many guys crying in their beer. Me? I'm gonna be a star.
All of me. Why not take all of me?
On the film set, Emmett and Bill are playing backing for a woman singer in a club scene.
Take my lips, I want to lose them.
While the star sings to the individual audience members, Emmett moves around in order to get in shot.
Your goodbye left me with eyes that cry. How can I go on, dear, without you? You took a part that once was my heart, so why not take all of me?
The reason Emmett hated Hollywood so much was because Hattie was discovered, not him. That was the truth of it. She was out there watching him film, and, you know, every day she would, you know, she'd hang out on the set, and one day, for, you know, some crazy reason, a director who happened to be working on the same lot Emmett was working on, he noticed her. And the director thought, this girl is a dead ringer for Mae Talmadge. You know, he was making a picture with Mae Talmadge, who was a big star at the time. And he thought Hattie is exactly what he wanted to play Mae Talmadge's kid sister. You know, and this is a 30-second part or something. And when he found out that Hattie couldn't speak, it didn't make any difference at all because the part had no dialogue. He just knew he had to have Hattie to play that part. Well, Emmett hated the whole idea.
Emmett rushes out into the lot, with Hattie following, carrying his guitar case.
I can't believe you said yes. But you nod that big dopey face of yours? Do they know you can't speak?
She nods.
Get it, you're gonna embarrass me. Suddenly you're a movie actress. Don't make me laugh.
Now Hattie's in makeup, and four people are working on her, pushing her face roughly from one side to the other. A clapperboard for the film Tomb of the Mummy. Hattie is lying next to a desert oasis beneath a ramshackle muslin shelter. As she gazes down at her reflection in the water, a man appears behind her. He drops to one knee and kisses her. The scene is shot over and over again, and in each one, Hattie seems a little reluctant to be kissed.
Now, as the story goes, Hattie was playing this love scene with William Weston, this handsome older man who always kissed his leading lady, so they said, with an open mouth. And he was kissing her, and they were doing take after take after take, and he was kissing her over and over with an open mouth. After 30 takes of getting kissed by this gorgeous leading man, Hattie went into a small coma.
In a daze, she walks through plate glass.
And that was the last time Emmett ever set foot in Hollywood.
Yeah, I remember Emmett Hattie back east at that time. He had a good manager, this cat named Sid Bishop. And Sid was really good to him, and he got him a lot of gigs. Emmett was doing very well, and that really wasn't easy, because back then, a lot of musicians were hurting from the Depression, and it really wasn't a lot of work to go around at that time. But Emmett even agreed at that time, if I remember, to do a couple of sides for the Victor label. He did Melancholy Baby, Exactly Like You, and I'll See You in My Dreams.
In the studio. Three people work on the recording in a nearby booth.
What do you mean I'm broke?
You give it away, you drink it up, you pick up checks, you lose it in pool rooms, and you're always buying Hattie presents.
She's like a kid, she loves tearing the paper off the boxes.
You gotta go on a budget.
I'll go on a budget if someone will straighten me out.
A budget's not easy for a guy like you.
Hey, when I set my mind to something...
You fight every good idea I have for you.
I'll go on a budget, I'll be good.
For instance, what do you spend on clothes a year? Do you have any idea?
How should I know? You want me to look like a bum?
What about rent?
I don't know. It's all hotels.
Do you have any idea what you spend on food?
The booze gratis.
Help yourself. Do you have any idea what you spend on food or entertainment? Do you have any investments? Anything that'll throw off revenue?
Oh, I got some savings, mostly from Hattie taking in laundry.
Damn it. We gotta look for places to cut down.
I burned $100 once. A guy dared me. He was a four flusher. He burned a 50, I burned 100. He burned a 20, I burned another 100. I could cut that out.
You want to end up in the poorhouse when you're old? You ever see a poorhouse? Emmett, from now on, your salary and expenses will come to me. I'm putting you on an allowance.
Okay, that's it. The party's over. You're spending too much, so now we've got to go on a budget. Now, aside from food, what are your expenses? What about the doctor bills? You got a doctor? I bet you I get you a veterinarian who's cheaper. And this is going out. What are we, the electric company? Huh? We gotta save every penny. What is that? Oh, no. You remembered my birthday? We can't afford presents. That's gotta go back. It's gotta go back.
He opens the box to find a pair of leather gloves.
These are the kid gloves I really wanted. These are exactly the gloves I wanted. These are. You know what I'm gonna do? I'm gonna cut you a break. It's my birthday, and so I'm gonna let you give them to me.
A card.
You made this yourself?
He opens it.
You're right, and looks like a chicken. Let's see, it's been almost a year since we've been together. Yeah. Well, that's scary. What's this word? Is that love?
Oh, no, don't go getting any big ideas here. Jesus. I must have ate something bad. I feel I'm gonna be sick.
The next morning.
Hey, got something for me today, Mr. Ray?
I don't.
Hey, Mr. Ray, it's me, Charlie.
I'm all tapped out.
You never let me down.
Hey, look, I'd like to help you, but I'm on a budget.
I haven't had a bowl of soup all day.
Oh, what, do you want to make me feel bad? Look, that's all you get, Amal. That's it.
All right, thanks. Thanks, Mr. Ray.
What? What's the urgency, Emmett? I came here as quick as I could.
Would you look at this thing?
This is what you called me to run quick to meet you.
Hey, he only wants 4,000 for
it. Yeah, so?
Well, does it fit the budget?
Are you kidding? We just sold one of your cars. I'm trying to unload the other one, not buy one.
If I cut down?
Cut down, Emmett. Where are you going to get $4,000? Are you nuts?
Well, I'll borrow the money and pay it off.
No one will lend you that kind of money, and you'll be saddled with payments.
I want the car.
No, Emmett.
How do you give up dessert?
Emmett!
I want the car.
As your business manager, I say it's out of the question.
I gotta have the car.
You don't have the money.
I gotta have the car.
There's no
way!
Emmett, we can't afford it.
Stop saying we. What do you mean we? If I want the car, I'm gonna get it.
Well, maybe. Someday, when it's in your budget.
Budget. You're suffocating me to death with the budget. Last week, I couldn't buy Hattie a birthday
present. You can buy champagne if you can only afford beer.
That's not fair. I'm the best guitar player in the world. If I want the car, I should have it.
Well, he said it, but he didn't believe it. I mean, in his soul, he worshipped Django Reinhardt. I mean, it was more than that, really. He was frozen by him. Django was like a god to him. I don't know if this is true or not, or just one of those Emmett Ray stories, but Sid Bishop, who was trying to help him financially at the time, got him a job in this club. And one night, just before showtime, one of the guys backstage decides to play a joke on him and tells him this lie.
Hey, Emmett! You're not gonna believe it. It's who's sitting at the front table. Django Reinhardt.
Are you kidding me? Hey, we should get him up on stage with you.
Reinhardt.
Hey, you know, he's gonna show him up.
I'm gonna...
Oh, come on! Come on, Emmett, we can get him up on stage with us.
Emmett hurries back to the dressing room.
Reinhardt's here, Django Reinhardt's here.
Really? Come on. Shh. Django's not in the audience. The house is half empty. There's just some guy that looks like Django out there.
Let's see if he's got the nerve to come down. Let's try it. Come on.
Harry.
Come on, Harry, let's go.
Come on, Emmett, we're on.
Bye.
What we should do it anyway. Hey, Emmett, come on down. I'll wait for you. I'll take you right out to the front table myself. I'll introduce you to Django.
Now, as the story goes, Emmett, as you know, was pathologically phobic about Django Reinhardt. So he tried to escape through the roof. Now, he just figured to hell with the job that night. But remember, this was a guy who had fainted twice when he came face to face with Django Reinhardt in Europe. So he's looking for a way out, and he decides to jump across to the building next door. Well, as fate would have it, he hits a weak spot in the roof and crashes through into somebody's apartment. As it happened, the apartment was being used by some counterfeiters who thought it was a raid when he came through the roof and ran out.
Emmett has landed on a vast pile of forged banknotes. Now he's driving the car he wanted out of its shed, the seller dropping money on the ground as he waves. At their tiny apartment, Hattie goes over to the bed and fluffs the pillows. She doesn't notice when Emmett pulls up outside in the new car. She goes to the window, then runs out to him. He hands her a large wrapped gift and a bunch of flowers. Then she steps up onto the car's running board to give him a hug. Now they're in a restaurant, and Emmett watches Hattie as she eats. Wearing a new red hat, she grins broadly back at him. Sally Gillian, author, Guitar Kings.
Well, Eddie Durham, the great jazz pioneer, met Emmett in Chicago in the 1930s, and here's what he said about him in his book. I met Emmett in Chicago. It was the height of the Depression. Work was scarce. A lot of guys took on teaching music as a sideline. Emmett refused. At that time, he was married to a woman named Blanche.
At a sophisticated party, Emmett plays in a band on a terrace while well-dressed guests mingle around them. Later, Emmett makes his way through the house, and as he passes, partygoers congratulate him on his performance. He walks into a plush room, empty of party guests. Suddenly, something on a table catches his eye, and checking no one is looking, he pockets it.
What are you doing?
Nothing.
Excuse me, darling. You were stealing that box.
No.
Oh, yes, you were. I saw you. Why?
I don't know.
You're a genius, you know.
Yep, UB Blake thinks I'm the best guitar player in the whole world, bar none. And he knows Django.
Truly?
Yeah.
I'm Blanche Williams.
You gonna squeal on me?
Squeal on you? Oh, no. Gosh, not only are you vain and egotistical, but you have genuine crudeness.
Yeah, I don't even want the goddamn thing.
I won't squeal on you if you take me for a drive in that sublime automobile of yours.
Drive? Where?
To the ends of the earth. Astonish me.
At the dump.
It's fun, isn't it?
Well, it's definitely different.
Make sure you don't pull it, you squeeze.
Squeeze it. You do this often?
Every chance I get.
Specifically, what's the thrill?
Well, I'm not sure. This one. And you got him! You got him!
Do you get a bigger kick doing this or stealing small objects?
You know what? I could really use a drink.
At his friend's house, he and Blanche are eating in the kitchen while the musicians jam in the other room.
I stop in here every time I come through Chicago. She makes great chili. You like chili?
What do you think of when you play? I mean, what goes through your mind? What are your real feelings?
I don't know. Yeah, that I'm underpaid. I think about that sometimes.
Tell me about the girl you lived with.
Hattie. She was nice, but I told her not to fall in love with me. It was very one-sided. Yeah. No, she was nice, but I just cut out one night. She was asleep. I left 500 cash by the bed. I got my stuff, and I got out of there at 4 o'clock in the morning. I didn't want to see.
She must have really loved you.
I didn't say it was an easy decision. But I needed more than Hattie.
Do you miss her?
Not a bit. No, I did the right thing for me. Maybe I wouldn't have met you.
Come on, Emmett. Join us, man. Cut loose with the fellas. You know you want to.
Yeah.
Please.
Come, you'll enjoy this. I'm great. Really am.
While Emmett immerses himself in the music, Blanche gets up from the kitchen table and almost glides to the door of the room. She watches Emmett in the cramped room for a moment, then takes out a notebook and pen.
After hours jam session, Chicago's South Side. He's like a cat, feline with a guitar, which is his only, certainly deepest love. No, his only. The sound, the beat, the ideas, where do they come from? Any woman would be second to his music. He wouldn't miss me any more than the woman he abruptly left. He could only feel pain for his music. Such is the ego of genius. Must get used to it.
I used to have a stable of girls in this town.
No.
Yeah. I made some money. Okay. Now, whores are unpredictable. They're nuts.
Really?
Yeah, but money's money.
I mean, you pimped and you procured?
No.
I can't stand it. It's just too perfect.
I don't like that word.
Which?
Pimp. No, I was a manager.
Oh. Yeah.
What's too perfect?
Well, that whole seamy world. I mean, the girls I came out with were whores, too, only we called them debutantes.
I lived in a whore house. I was 18 for 6 months. Didn't have a job and no money. And the madam put me up. She was a friend of my mother's.
I'm sure you learned a lot there.
I don't know. It's like being a cook.
A cook?
You're in the kitchen all day. You don't want to look at the food.
Oh. I'd love to be a whore for a year. Just a year.
Well, if you ever want a manager. Oh, look, that's a beauty.
What is this fascination with trains?
What do you mean?
Do you have the urge to go off to ride to unknown destinations?
At what point?
Are you trying to recapture some intangible feeling from childhood when you dreamt of glamorous cities just out of reach?
I'm not trying to capture anything from childhood. Stank.
Then I can only think it must be the power of a locomotive. The sheer potent sexual energy that arouses your masculinity. The wheels, hot furnace, pistons pumping.
You sound like you want to go to bed with the train.
A record is spinning on a gramophone player. Emmett is lying on a sofa nearby, wearing a dressing gown. As he listens to the record, his eyebrows seem to dance to the music. Blanche is sitting in the room at a table next to the window, writing.
He's impulsive and hot-tempered, yet he listens to recordings of Django Reinhardt for hours and cries. He has never met this gypsy guitarist and never wants to. I think because he doesn't want to learn Django's mortal. He sleeps with the light on in the room, and last night he woke up screaming the name of his old girlfriend, Hattie. Then he asked me to marry him.
At a hotel reception, Emmett shows the staff Blanche's wedding ring and the couple kiss. Later, Blanche lights a cigarette and poses on a chair, watching Emmett play pool with his friends.
You love those legs? Take your hat off. She grew up with a butler.
It was very impulsive. And as soon as they were married, right from the start, it was very shaky. Why did he marry her so suddenly? I don't know. You know, they only had one thing in common, clothes. They were like two peacocks. But there was always an unreal quality to the whole thing. Talk about doomed relationships.
I feel like getting out.
Yeah, me too, Emmett, but we're broke.
Now, he's gonna give me my job back. He said so.
If you show up on time and then not always drunk.
Look, something comes over me, I get cold sweats.
You're not sorry we got married, are you?
Of course not. You're a beautiful woman.
Do you love me?
What's this all about?
I'm trying to analyze your feelings so I can write about them.
Look, I'm your husband. I'm not some goddamn book idea.
Have you ever cried over the loss of anyone? Your mother? Your father?
Not in me. I think you let your insides get to
you.
You
realize if you could just let your feelings out, you might even play better. Richer.
Someone else said that to me once. Everybody knows everything.
I've been trying to analyze what separates your playing from Django's, and I say it's that his feelings are richer. He's not afraid to suffer in front of anybody. He doesn't hold things in check
all right,
like
you stop talking about Django. The guy haunts me, all right? Enough about Django.
Blanche walks into a lavish club out of hours. As she strolls through to the bar, she removes her gloves and finds a man playing cards at a table.
Hello?
Yeah.
I want to see Mr. Bedloe.
Be back in a minute.
Do you mind if I wait?
Got an appointment?
May I?
Go ahead.
Nope. Who are you?
I work for him.
I've seen you around.
You're a strong arm man.
He don't need no help.
I saw you beat somebody up in the alley last week.
You're the guitar player's wife.
That's right.
I noticed you too.
You did?
Oh, lots of times.
Oh. Why does Mr. Bedlow need a bodyguard?
You come here to ask for your husband's job back.
Is it true Mr. Bedlow runs some rackets?
You know, Joe thinks the world of your husband's guitar playing. He thinks he's a genius, but, I mean, let's be honest. Either he comes in here late, or he comes in drunk, or he don't come in at all, and that's no way to run a nightclub. I think Joe's cooled down. It was pretty hot the other night.
I hope you don't mind me asking, but, you're wearing a gun, aren't you?
Not me.
Did you ever kill anyone?
He gets up from his table to join her.
Don't tell me that you never noticed me staring at you.
No,
You come in here a couple of nights, I couldn't take my eyes off you.
Really?
I love that blue silk dress you wear.
Oh, yes, that G. It's warm in here.
Uh-huh. Morning, Mr. Bedlow.
You're a smart girl. You come from a good home. What are you doing with a drunken guitar player for a husband? Okay, he's a brilliant musician, but who can live with him? Not me. I'll bet it's no picnic for you.
He wants me to tell you he's learned his lesson.
Hey, what do you think? I was born yesterday.
I know you think he's great.
Great? His playing makes me cry. Does he bring in customers? Some. Mostly aficionados. When he shows up. Christ, we found him the other night staring at freight trains at 9 o'clock.
He's gonna turn over a new leaf.
Right.
He's through drinking.
Right. All right, look. I'm a soft touch, okay? But I don't like to be made a fool. Out of respect for you, who I like, I'm gonna give him one more shot. But if you want my advice, no genius is worth too much heartache.
She comes out of Bedlow's office.
How'd you do?
He's such a nice man.
You wanna celebrate?
Celebrate?
Yeah, have a drink with me. Come on.
Oh, well, I guess. There are a few things I wouldn't mind finding out. See, I'm a writer, and extreme characters always fascinate me.
Well, I ain't so extreme. Everybody I ever rubbed out deserved it.
Rubbed out? That's so colorful. And what goes through your mind when you're rubbing someone out?
Through my mind?
What do you think about when you pull the trigger?
Well, I don't know.
Yet you're able to just shoot someone.
Well, I don't want to shock you, but it always came kind of natural to me.
Really?
Yeah, ever since I was 15 and I first picked up a gun, I discovered that I had a knack for it.
Fascinating. What are you doing?
You have very soft hair.
Don't.
Why?
I'm scared.
Because I kill for a living.
No. Because I find you attractive.
The two of them disappear behind a curtain in a passionate embrace. Later, Emmett's playing at the club.
Blanche was a writer, some kind of a writer. You know, not famous or anything, but she was published. In fact, she wrote a story, there's some story of hers called Strutting and Fretting. And it's vaguely about some of the stormy times she and Emmett were having.
Why am I bored with my husband? It's all so complicated. In the end, I married for the wrong reasons. And why Emmett rushed into marriage with me is a mystery.
5 1/4.
Emmett takes his shot.
That's all she wrote.
Lucky shot. You could make that shot again if you try.
Yeah, don't give me that. Just hand it over. I'm one of the 2 or 3 top pool players in the country. No shame in losing to me. Thank you very much.
Come here, I'll talk.
Yeah.
Look, we know each other, right? I don't like to cause any problems.
Yeah.
Like that, so I want to give you a little tip.
On a horse? A couple of beers.
No, not on a horse, Emmett. I want to give you a tip. Keep an eye on your wife.
What do you mean?
Just always keep an eye on her.
Why?
Because she's been spending a lot of time with Al Poirier.
Who?
Altorio, the hood, hangs around Bedlow.
The bodyguard?
That's right.
And Blanche, are you nuts?
Just telling you what's going around.
What kind of mind you got? Blanche would never make a fool out of me with some strong-arm stooge. You kidding me? Where'd you hear this?
Here and there, a few places. That's why I'm telling you now. I didn't think you'd want people laughing at you, that's all.
Laughing at me? Hey, you know how rumors get started. Nah. Nah. Come on. This is what happens when you have a wife everybody's envious of. It's jealousy. But I'm not the jealous type. They're just trying to knock me down.
Hope you're right.
When his friend turns away, Emmett's confidence seems to ebb. At home, he fetches his gun and cocks it.
I've heard stories about this from musicians. I've read about it, but I don't really know. I know that apparently Emmett tried to follow Blanche one day. I believe she told him she was going to the dentist or something, and he followed her.
Now, Torrio parks his car in front of a cinema and gets out to meet Blanche. They hug, then head into the picture house. Emmett has been hiding in a shop doorway a little way off. Checking that Blanche is gone, he tentatively scurries to Torrio's car. He climbs in the back seat and ducks down out of sight.
You gotta go home right away.
Well, I think Emmett's at the pool room.
Oh, come on, let's go for a drive.
Now, Torrio's driving along.
You know, I gotta tell you, I didn't care too much for that movie.
No?
Ah, I like Cagney. Guns, bullet shooting, a little action.
How does it feel when you actually kill? I mean, what goes through your mind when you pull
what
the trigger?
What do you gotta ask the questions for all the time?
Because I wanna know. Emmett has a violent side, but it all turns to passion in his music. With you, there's just not a shred of sublimation. It's incredible.
Let me ask you one question. Who makes love to you better, me or him?
Emmett is an artist, and because he's an artist, he needs no one. I mean, even making love, he seems to exist in a world all of his own. With you, I feel like I'm looking right into the heart of darkness. I become crazy when you touch me.
Okay, so now Emmett is fuming. I mean, he found out that Torrio and Blanche, you know, they've gone to bed with each other, and that they're lovers, and he's consumed with rage, you know. Now, just at that moment, Torrio decides to pull off the road and to go into a gas station to buy some cigarettes. And there's Emmett in the back of the car, and he's trying very hard to figure out, you know, who he wants to shoot. Does he want to shoot Blanche? Does he want to shoot Torrio? Should he shoot both of them together? And, you know, he's working on this problem. They go into the store. And exactly at that moment, a holdup is taking place. And two guys come running out of the gas station. They don't know what to do. All hell is breaking loose. There's gunshots. Instead of taking their car, Torrio's got a big car. They jump in that and pull off.
A police car comes the other way and screeches around the gas station forecourt to chase the robbers. One of the robbers hangs out of the passenger door, shooting at the three police cars that are now giving chase. They round the bend, and Torrio's car crashes to a halt. As the driver slumps lifelessly out of the door, Emmett appears with his hands in the air.
I'm Emmett Ray. I'm the greatest guitar player in the world. Except maybe this gypsy. Perhaps you heard my recording of You Were Meant For Me, RCA Victor. You were meant for me.
Well, that's not what I heard. But let me tell you, like all Emmett Ray stories, you never know what's made up or what's exaggerated, what's true. You never know what to believe. What I heard was this. I heard that when they pulled into the gas station, Blanche gets out to get some cigarettes, and that's when he confronted them.
How could you do it? How could you cheat on me with a bum like that?
Emmett, don't!
Make a fool out of me in front of everybody.
Okay, so I slept with him, but I was just researching a book.
I love you!
Emmett! 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 Don't be crazy! Do something!
Sorry, my tire blew out. Believe me, he never tried to kill himself because Emmett Ray was, you know, he had much too much ego for anything like that. A story that Eddie Condon tells about this, and Eddie Condon was definitely not a reliable source because he was a big embellisher himself. But the story Eddie Condon tells, I believe, is that Torrio was aware that the fact that he was a gangster was a big turn-on for Blanche. And so he decided that he would pull into this gas station and he would stick it up.
Torrio opens the gas station's door for Blanche.
Yeah, get your hands in the air, Pops. Come on, give everything you got in the register. Come on.
Emmett was so panicked by hearing gunshots, he crept into the front seat and took off. He didn't get more than 50 feet before he crashed into an oncoming car. Now, there's this terrible crash. Miraculously, no one is hurt. And who gets out of the car but a group of musicians? I can't remember who it was. It was like Buck Clayton or Coleman Hawkins or Teddy Wilson or something. But there, suddenly, standing in front of Emmett, is Django Reinhardt.
A man smoking a cigarette with slicked back hair wearing a neckerchief surveys the damage. And on seeing him, Emmett faints.
I believe later that year, Emmett turned up in New Jersey and made that recording he did of one of his own compositions, actually, Unfaithful Woman.
In the recording studio, Emmett and the musicians sit in a circle.
Cigarettes?
Oh, yeah. Em, I tell you, the music business really picked up, just like you said.
Sorry. Yeah.
We got some dancers lined up for tonight. Pretty ones, they are wild.
Hattie comes out of the laundry at the fairground, carrying her lunch in a paper bag. Emmett is waiting nearby, and he follows her across the rain-soaked pavement to a bench overlooking the lake. She takes a seat, unaware that he's approaching. As she takes a bite from her sandwich, she glances up to see him looking down at her with a smile.
How are you? You look healthy. I'm in town making a record. I wrote a beautiful tune. It's a classic. I'm sorry I cut out on you like that. It was time to move on. You know? I was fair. I told you not to fall in love with me. It's nothing personal. Yeah? It's just, I'm an artist. And, you know, I like women, but they gotta have their place. Hey. You angry with me? You have every right to be. You know, I don't hold it against you. I even thought of you a couple of times. My wife said I said your name once in my sleep. Must have had a nightmare or something. I had a wife. She's gone now, and believe me, I don't miss her. I don't mean to say I miss you either, but I didn't have any bad feelings about you. We got a real good contract at a club in New York for a year. Good dough. Now, maybe you'd like to come. You know, I'm not making any promises, but you know, I think you might have fun.
You know, you'd be in New York with one of the two best guitar players in the world. Six best poker players, not counting that. We'll leave tomorrow, if you want. If you don't, I understand. You know, then it's nice seeing you again. Good luck. I never could get your handwriting.
He reads the note she's written.
Happily? Hey, kids. Hey, boy or girl? Boy? Girl? That's just as well. I wouldn't want to give you the wrong impression, you know. You might get attached to me again, and you know me, I can't take entanglements. Well, I gotta go. We're gonna take some chorus girls out tonight. Yeah. And I'm leaving tomorrow. Take it easy.
Back at his hotel room, Emmett shuffles drunkenly from the bathroom over to the bedside table where he grabs a hip flask. Finding it empty, he reaches for a bottle. He swigs thirstily from it and walks over to the dressing table. He takes a seat before its hinged mirrors, then sucks on a cigarette. Now, in a brightly lit club, couples dance to a band while Emmett chats to a young woman in a booth.
Hey. I'm the greatest solo instrumentalist on a guitar you'll ever hear.
Oh, yeah?
The public's just getting to know my name. This time next year, I'll be in the money. You're a real looker. You are a real looker.
You're not that bad.
I mean it.
No. Well, maybe that's why the men give me a lot of tips when I dance.
You want to go watch trains?
What?
Come on.
Trains? Wait, where are we going?
Come on.
Jesus.
Come on.
Come on, my hat.
Come on.
Hey! Where are we going?
My cigarette.
Jesus, where do you think you're taking me?
What's that?
Emmett drives through the night to the train track just beyond the Grey Iron Bridge. As he swerves to a halt, the young girl nearly falls out of the passenger door.
You almost lost me there, you know. Did you see that? Huh? Jesus, what are we doing here?
I like to sit out and look at the trains pass.
Yeah, to each his own, I say. I mean, I don't understand it.
I can make my guitars sound like a train.
God, I mean, I'm a nice girl. I don't understand why you'd bring me here, you know? I mean,
I can make my guitar sound.
Look,
I got just like a train.
Warm room we can go to, and come on, I'll take care of you. Nice. Jesus, I don't get it. I don't understand why you would bring a nice girl like me out here.
I'm taking requests. You know, Sweet Sue?
No.
While Emmett perches on the rear bumper playing his guitar, she walks slowly around the car looking a little disgruntled. She dances a little, but then wraps her coat around her more tightly. Emmett takes a deep, drunken breath. The young girl watches him impatiently. His expression seems awash with sadness and a little distracted as he makes his way through the song.
Bathroom. What's the matter with you? You got this strange. What?
Get out of here.
What? What are you talking? You dragged me out here.
Just leave me alone.
What?
Leave me alone! I don't need
anybody.
What? I made a mistake.
Yeah, I'll say.
Okay? I made a mistake.
Suddenly, he lifts his guitar by the neck and smashes it hard three times against the telegraph pole. Then he collapses against the pole and slides helplessly to the ground.
I have no idea what happened to Emmett Ray. He just sort of disappeared, I guess. I mean, he did make, though, in those last couple of years, he made his best recordings. He never played more beautifully, more movingly, and, something just seemed to kind of open up in him. And it was amazing, because he was every bit as good as Django Reinhardt.
And then he just, seemed to fade away. I mean, I have no idea. Some people said he went to Europe, and some people feel that he may have stopped playing altogether. But we do have, fortunately, those last recordings he made, and they're great. They're absolutely beautiful.